We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
Angela Yee and Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
The voice of the culture.
People watch The Breakfast Club for, like, news and really be tuned in.
It's one of my favorite shows to do. Just because y'all always keep it 100, y'all keep it real.
They might not watch the news, but they're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. They're, you know, they're listening to The Breakfast Club.
Get your ass up.
Hey, fam.
Hey, fam.
Mm-hmm. It's Thursday.
Yes, it is Thursday all day.
Good morning, everybody. We are The Breakfast Club. Hopefully, you're having a great day. I was a little late this morning, but I'm on time, but I was running late.
Okay.
And that was because after the show today, we have a photo shoot, and I forgot when I left the house this morning.
Oh, you had to get your jewels.
I had to go back and go get some jewelry. I forgot. I totally forgot about this photo shoot.
The one they sent us 10 texts about?
Absolutely. Totally forgot.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, how's everything, Yee?
Everything's good. What did I do yesterday? I don't even remember.
No, I was out in Atlantic City yesterday. You know, we're having a seminar this weekend in Atlantic City where we're teaching people how to invest in real estate. But not only that, it's a two-day seminar. We actually take people to different properties. So we get buses. We put you in a different property, show you how much work each property needs, and it goes from $10,000 properties to $100,000 properties to vacant lands to multi-units. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So we were out there, you know, looking at and scouting different places and even looking to invest some money as well. So we were out in Atlantic City. And Atlantic City is like a two and a half hour drive from New York. So it's a long little run.
2.5 hours?
About no, two and a half not. Hours. In traffic? Yes, it is.
Oh, in traffic, maybe. Yeah. I was like, it never took me 2.5 hours to get to Atlantic City.
All right, Speedy Gonzalez.
No. All right, but anyway, this is what I did yesterday. So I'm taking part in this documentary, right, about food. It's the same people who did What the Health.
Okay.
I know you saw What the Health, right? So I was learning a lot of things about the food that we eat and how that's tied to government and finances, which is something that I'm sure if you watch What the Health, you already know about. And I know they're vegan. I'm not vegan.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been doing better as far as making sure that I pay attention to what I'm putting in my body. So when you learn these things, if you haven't seen What the Health, you need to watch it because it will definitely make you stop eating certain things, you know?
Okay.
And I always feel like if you know better, you do better.
I always be like, you know what? This week, I'm going to start off right. And then I'm with somebody that's eating effed up. So I start eating effed up. But I always restart on Monday. So maybe next Monday I'll start
again. I think it's just things that you can do that's better. Like if you see what cheese is and you'll be like, okay. And you can understand why cheese is so addictive and why you're not supposed to be having dairy and anything that comes from a cow and how the cows are raised and treated and why all of that stuff is not good for us. It will make you rethink things and maybe even cut back on certain foods.
Yeah, it's them damn trolleys. Them damn trolleys and them damn chuckles is what messed me up.
Chuckles. You like know, the candy?
Yes, and trolleys, the candy. You don't see the trolley, like the trolley worms, the trolley octopus, the James Harden trolleys and all that? You don't never eat trolleys?
No, I don't even know what that
is. Oh, trolleys?
Oh, trolleys.
Oh, trolleys.
I was like, trolley, like a train?
No, trolley, I don't know what they call.
I don't know what Envy was talking about.
And they got them in the okay. Five Below store, only a dollar at the Five Below store.
That's how you know it's not good.
I know.
And the difference between, and I always try to explain to people, the difference between artificial sugar and natural sugar from fruits. Because, you know, I have the pressed juice company and we have the juice bar, and sometimes people will be like, there's too much sugar. But the reason why is it's natural sugar from fruits, which is not bad for you.
Okay.
So people just have to understand the difference.
All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Rakim, the God, will be joining us on this Throwback Thursday.
That's going to be exciting. He has a book out.
He has a book out. Rakim was probably
the technique.
One of the first concerts my parents ever took me to. It was Run DMC, Rakim, and LL Cool J at Madison Square Garden.
Wow, that's exciting.
That was definitely exciting. I mean, our seats were so damn high, we really couldn't really see much. But
and you were 17?
I definitely wasn't 17.
I was
definitely
like,
wasn't
late.
17. But I was a little young, and I just remember that, just seeing him on stage and the crowd and everybody rocking. But I really couldn't see because we were like in the section, like damn near touching the roof. But
you didn't sit on your dad's shoulders to watch?
I was so high, that would have made it even worse. Like, it was high as hell.
That was nice of them to take you to that.
But
though,
I was just excited. They didn't really want to go because hip hop, and they was like, I don't want to go see this hippity hippity hop. But I was so into it that they took me, and I just remember it for the first time. And it was ill because this weekend I got a chance to take my daughter to see Chance the Rapper, and I watched her. I'm gonna post it in a second. I watched her rapping his lyrics, and I was like, damn, that's how I was rapping Run DMC back in the day, and LL Cool J. So I'm gonna post it. It just made me feel good. Like, damn, I got a chance to take my daughter to one of her first concerts.
And look, I got a Ghostface T-shirt today, Supreme Clientele.
There you go. All right, well, let's get the show cracking. Front Page News, what are we talking about?
We are going to be talking about, of course, Donald Trump and what's happening now with this whole impeachment, because they do have the transcript of that phone conversation with the president of Ukraine.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, in Thursday Night Football, the Eagles take on the Green Bay Packers. Now, what else are we talking about, Yeezy?
We are going to talk about what happened in these transcripts, right, that were released with Donald Trump's phone call to the Ukrainian president and whether or not there was some wrongdoings here. So, looks like there are some things that are quite impeachable here.
Okay.
So, let's get into it. Now, according to these transcripts, Donald Trump, and we have the exact transcript here and what was said, told Ukrainian President Zelensky, I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike, I guess you have one of your wealthy people, the server. They say Ukraine has it. There are a lot of things that went on, the whole situation. I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. And he goes on to ask, he said, I heard you had a prosecutor who was very good and he was shut down, and that's really unfair. A lot of people are talking about that, the way they shut your very good prosecutor down, and you had some very bad people involved. Mr. Giuliani is a highly respected man. He was the mayor of New York City, a great mayor, and I would like him to call you. I will ask him to call you along with the attorney general. And basically he was asking to have them check into why the country's top prosecutor apparently had ended an investigation of the business dealings of Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, who served on the board of a Ukrainian gas company. And he also wanted them to look into Joe Biden as well.
So very impeachable things.
Yeah, because you're trying to influence an upcoming election.
Correct.
And then in addition to that, the other issue was him withholding aid, $400 million that was allocated for Ukraine, and withholding that until he got the information that he wanted.
Hey, let's be clear. I was watching, you know, AOC on CNN last night. And I mean, it just is something that everybody's saying. Trump has had a lot of impeachable offenses in the last 2-3 years.
Correct.
This is just another one. Right?
This is the biggest one. One of the biggest ones. Right?
It's not even one of the, it's not even the biggest one. You know what I'm saying? But it's just another one to add to a long list. Because like I've been saying, people have not been paying attention. And the reason they haven't been paying attention is because nobody has been acting like what Trump is doing is wrong.
All right. And
so
then,
if you continue to do wrong and nobody acts like it's wrong, then it gets normalized.
Then the whistleblower complaint against Trump has been declassified also. So they expect all of that to come out today. And the whistleblower has tentatively agreed to testify as long as they get appropriate clearances to attend the hearing. So that's the person who initially filed a complaint with the Intelligence Community Inspector General, which includes allegations about Donald Trump's conduct. So he is going to tentatively agree to meet with congressional lawmakers. Now, here is what Donald Trump had to say after that transcript was released.
It's the single greatest witch hunt in American history, probably in history, but in American history. It's a disgraceful thing. The letter was a great letter, meaning the letter revealing the call. That was done at the insistence of myself and other people that read it. It was a friendly letter. There was no pressure. The way you had that built up, that call, it was going to be the call from hell. It turned out to be a nothing call, other than a lot of people said, I never knew you could be so nice.
That's a damn lie. Trump has had at least 10 impeachable offenses, man. Obstructing justice, profiting from the presidency, you know, abuse of power, attacking the free press. Like, it's a lot of different reasons they can impeach Trump. This is just the latest.
All right. Well, that is your front page news, and we'll have more for you on that this morning.
Violating campaign finance laws. This is a long list of reasons.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night, bad morning, or maybe you feel positive. You want to spread some positivity. 800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
How do we level the playing field for all entrepreneurs? 55% of white businesses survive the startup phase, while only 4% of black businesses do the same. So I want every black entrepreneur to know about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive offer at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
This is Brandy.
Hey, Brandy. Get it off your chest, Brandy.
Okay, I have a question. I've been listening to y'all for a long, 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 long time, and I just love y'all so much. And y'all have had a lot of celebrities on there, legends and everything. How come y'all ain't had Queen Beyonce on there? Have y'all ever tried to reach out to her?
Beyonce?
Have you seen Beyonce do any interviews in the past 9 years?
Yes.
any radio interviews.
That's my point. You guys could be like the first.
Well, can you call her for us?
Yeah, can you set it up?
Clearly, Beyonce's not doing interviews because she doesn't want to. All right? Beyonce can do what the hell she wants.
Why do you gotta be so beefy all the time?
It's just the truth.
Why don't you call her for us, please?
Have y'all ever tried to reach out to her people, though? Like,
nope.
Seriously, have y'all?
We want you to do it.
We actually don't reach out to nobody's person. We don't have the fun fact, the Breakfast Club has never had a booker. Like we don't have a publicist. We don't have somebody who reaches out to artists on our behalf and tries to get them on.
Not at all.
Oh, so they people reach out to y'all.
That is a fact.
Correct. See.
Oh. Well, y'all should tell Beyonce she should come on there.
Hey, we'll reach out to her just for you.
We'll think about it. We'll have a meeting about it and decide if we ever would want to have Beyonce up here. Okay,
you even know, though you are Oprah Winfrey, Knowles, Carter, Jada, Pinkett.
Hey, my last name is Pinkett Smith, Winfrey, Knowles, Carter. Get it right.
Have a good one, Mama.
You too.
Keith, what up, Keith?
Hey, what's going on?
Get it off your chest, bro.
Hey, man. The day before yesterday, I woke up in the morning. I had a direct deposit for $9,500 in my account. Doesn't say where it came from.
Wow.
I don't know where it came from, but I'm spending it.
Don't you spend it.
Hey, prayer answers things.
Don't you spend it. You know what you do? You
get ready to give it back.
You invest it. You invest it so when they come back, you made money off the money that they gave you.
Prayer works, bro.
What bank is it?
Bank of America. But I already changed banks already and just changed my phone number.
Yeah, they'll never find you.
Bro, they'll find you. Do me a favor. Just invest that money. Act like you didn't have it. Invest it. Look at stocks and bonds. Look at real estate. Look at something. And then when they come back for their money, you can give them back their money, but you'll still make off their money. You would have made money off their money.
They're going to use this phone call as evidence against you, but just remember, prayer works, bro. You prayed for a blessing and God delivered.
Change your Social Security number, too.
All right, thank y'all.
He going to jail. I can tell. Rod.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Rod? Get off your chest.
Yeah, I watched that video of Charlamagne's Prince story where he said Prince floated away.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you guys back that story up too, you and Angela Yee.
Okay, I'll be honest with you, bro. I was there, and he did float away.
I don't be lying, bro.
No, I swear. And Charlamagne tried to sneak a picture, and he snuck the picture, and we ran back in the room. We looked at the picture, and then the picture was gone.
The picture was in my phone for about 25 seconds. It literally showed Prince. He had on a purple light cape, really? And he was walking away, and you could see he was clearly off the ground. And about 30 seconds later, where the picture was in my phone, it was just a black space.
I seen it.
A black square.
Angela, you bet that up him?
Yeah, his feet weren't on the ground.
Come on, now was he wearing a cape where he could have been on the hovercraft or something?
The hovercraft?
No, he wasn't on his feet weren't touching the ground.
And this was like, what, 5:30 in the morning, 6 in the morning? It was early in the morning. Nobody was in the hallway but Prince and two females.
Okay, I believe it now. I didn't when I just heard Charlamagne say it, but since he's backing up, I guess I do believe it now.
All right, bro.
All right, have a good day.
They got to have video camera because there's cameras out there. We should pull up try to get the camera one day.
That was like 9 years ago.
You think they still have that footage?
It was about 7-8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, it's Jesse.
Jesse, what's up? Get it off your chest.
What's up? Good morning, DJ Envy. I want to call out Charlamagne today.
Why you want to call him out?
Talk to me.
Everybody wants to call out Charlamagne, but Charlamagne, you always say your contract is on 605. I want to see you post that contract on social media.
Why would I ever post my contract on social media? You really think I'm one of these new digital dickheads, don't you? That got to post everything.
I want to see proof. I want to see proof of your contract.
What does it matter to you?
Yeah.
that's your only reasoning. That's your only reasoning for you being late. If your contract is really true, then all right, you could be at 605. But I want to hear that yo.
All right, but take my word for it when I tell you my contract says 605, okay?
I can't believe it. All right, man.
That's what your daddy said when he found out you was his.
Goodness gracious. Hello, who's this?
This is Abe McKinnon from Miami, Georgia.
Hey, what's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Yeah, I just want to say I'm just disappointed in Charlamagne. You know, he gives out all this good advice. But then when people telling him about coming in on time...
Here we go.
My contract says 605.
Hold on, Charlamagne. My thing is right now that you even coming in late, you don't want to do yo, and you want to backpedal. But then now you just join in the conversation without greeting the people. And I think that that's very rude.
Slide in like you was here the whole time.
Listen, yeah, man, we've been doing this every day for 9 years. It's a continuous conversation.
No, you just, but you still should greet the people.
Well, hello, sir. How are you, my brother?
It's too late.
Peace, King. How you doing?
I'm fine, bro. And I love you, man. And I
love you more, my brother.
But at least greet the people. If you don't want to do yo, and people telling you this, and then you're going to backpedal, I know you will. But listen, greet the people before you come into the conversation. That's all I ask.
All right. Peace to all the kings and queens out there. Good morning. Salutations. How are you? We got Rakim on the show today.
We said that already.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's your name, man?
DJ,
what's the matter, bro?
Hello.
What's going on?
Man, I'm just mad that every day you got to get up. If you miss one day of work, they go to light bill.
Well, don't miss one day of work.
Don't miss a day of work, man.
I mean, I'm on the way.
You late then. I can tell you late.
You thought about not going.
I gotta be there about 7.
Okay.
How far are you away?
I'm at the gas station right now, about 5 minutes away.
Okay. Well, you good then.
You early.
Yeah. I got to stop at McDonald's, too.
You about to be late.
Why are you going to McDonald's and not Chick-fil-A?
Man, I don't want that expensive stuff. Then I just...
There's no way with that expensive
man,
stuff.
Man, that chicken biscuit with egg and cheese...
You got light bills to pay, okay?
That chicken biscuit with egg and cheese be slamming.
Can I get 10 on 2?
10 on 2?
Oh, you at the gas station?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of car are you driving, bro?
Ford.
A truck or a car?
Truck.
You know that $10 ain't gonna get you by about to your job, man. Gas is so expensive. You leave for $20 so you can get home, bro.
I'm gonna do it when I get off.
See, I knew it. All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, you can hit us up at any time. Yeah, we got rumors on the way.
Yes, we'll tell you what rapper had to get a restraining order against his ex-girlfriend / baby mom. Also, Tekashi 6ix9ine. We have an update on his situation. He doesn't want to go into witness protection. We'll tell you what his plans are.
Oh, boy. All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. We are The Breakfast Club. I just want to say, Charlamagne just told me something about Pastor John Gray was doing.
Salute to my guy, Pastor John Gray. That was old, though, man.
I'm just finding out. Yeah, I want to salute him. I didn't know. Most people, I'm sure, don't know. So,
like,
you know, when you go to church, you're supposed to give tithes and you're supposed to give money, correct? Well, during one, I guess, was it Thanksgiving?
That was last Thanksgiving.
Was it Thanksgiving?
It was around Thanksgiving time.
In Thanksgiving, when he was in church and he was having a sermon, he had money in the thing and said, if you need money,
come
up here and come get it. Come get what you want.
Absolutely. Drop on the clues bombs for my man, Pastor John Gray.
I said, that's dope. I said, but also, you know, it kind of plays with you, because when you go up there, you'd be like, well, how much do you really need?
And we ain't ask you all
thousands
that.
Of Why dollars
you,
in there.
You're asking extra questions. I mean, don't be greedy. Treat it like it's a buffet. You know, you go to somebody's house, and they got the food out.
Yes.
And it's enough for everybody, if everybody eats a nice little sample.
But you got that one auntie or that one cousin
that's going to eat too much.
Exactly.
And they fat. And that's why you got to look at them and see, that's why you're so big now.
Goodness gracious. Shout to Pastor John Gray. All right, well, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk to y'all.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Kanye took his Sunday service to Atlanta, and T.I. and 2 Chainz both came out. T.I. came, of course, with his wife, Tiny, and 2 Chainz, of course, came with his wife, Keisha. They were sitting front row, and there was a picture that was circulating where T.I.'s face looks like he is not happy. And he said, yeah, man, we must discuss what caused this look on my face in Sunday service expeditiously. And that's his podcast, of course. Now, Killer Mike was on his podcast, and here is what T.I. had to say about the pastor, Jamal Bryant.
I cut my fellowshipping short at Magic City.
To go to church.
To go and get me 45 minutes of sleep.
Yeah.
To get up and drive out here to be accosted and basically exploited.
Finesse out some money.
Jamal already raised the offering.
Yeah.
When we sat down, it's like they rung the red bell at the Players Club.
I understand where T.I. is coming from. That's from his Expeditiously podcast with Killer Mike. But it wasn't just the fact that they were asking for tithes and offerings, because that's what churches do. They ask for a specific amount. They ask for people to give $1,000.
All right.
Like, don't ask for a certain amount.
What you mean?
That's what the pastor asked.
Pastor was like, okay, everybody here, I need $1,000.
So let me read you Pastor Jamal Bryant's response. He said to my comrades, T.I. and Killer Mike, let me first say I appreciate your unwavering commitment to the empowerment of this generation. And then he goes on to list the things that that money goes for. He said, I don't want Sunday to be used as further ammunition as to why people don't go to church without them knowing at this same church we gave 5,000 pairs of new back-to-school shoes to kids of Atlanta, or that we spearheaded 9 million campaigns to support Bennett College, or that we bailed out nonviolent offenders, or that we partnered with Delta to send for cargo to Bahamas for hurricane relief, or that we partnered with the Hampton University to place 95 displaced students, or that we fed the furloughed workers for 2 weeks while the government was shut down, or that we went into housing projects to feed kids of DeKalb County during spring break. He goes on to talk about how he'd never asked for a donation from them for those projects. But he said, the reality is, when I came to New Birth 9 months ago, I was met with a $30 million debt that must be paid so that we can be free to do real community development like affordable housing, entrepreneur workspace, and medical clinics. So that was his explanation. He said, as black men, I hope we can come together expeditiously to find common ground to build.
I have no problem with the churches asking for money, okay? We know that the collection plate coming around a few times. I have no problem even paying the pastor's salary, especially if the pastor's fire. But don't ask for a certain amount.
Yeah, don't ask for no certain amount.
You can't ask me. I want $1,000.
You should ask what I can give, or hopefully can you give a little more. But don't ask me for a direct amount.
Yes. I will say, when I went to Potter House, Bishop T.D. Jakes Church in Dallas, I felt like I didn't have enough because his sermon was so fire.
Really? Well, T.I. responded, nothing but love and respect for you, Jamal Bryan. I'm still shoulder to shoulder in the struggle with you, part of my progress. You know God still has me under construction. Our views may differ on some matters, but we are both aligned and move in unison on behalf of our people. So he did say, I'm always willing to sit and fellowship with you or anybody else who institutes change and make significant steps toward progress for our people.
Just don't ask for a certain amount. Churches, come as you are and give what you got.
Oh, I just remember another pastor did that too. He passed for $1,000. He asked for $1,000 for his Rolls Royce.
I've seen that a few times.
And the church started wilding out. But how do you ask for a specific amount?
Don't ask for a specific amount.
All right, Kanye West, in the meantime, has delayed his Jesus is King release, according to reports. Sources close to the situation told Billboard that West will no longer be dropping that project tomorrow. All right, Freddie Gibbs, his car got keyed up. I don't know if you guys saw these pictures, but apparently, according to legal documents that TMZ got, his baby mom, Raven Tatum, has been harassing him and his new girlfriend ever since him and Raven got into an argument back in August, and she knifed up his Benz and put a curse word on it, the F word, on the side of his car and also slashed his tires.
What's the F word?
You know what the F word is.
Rhymes with buck.
A curse, I said.
Oh, fornication under consent of the king.
There you go.
Oh,
okay. And then, according to Freddie Gibbs, he said she also got his girlfriend's contact information and started sending her text messages saying that he's cheating on her, and he got a He managed to get a restraining order while in court.
Looked like she tried to scratch boy, but got tired. Because that's hard. You know, when you're digging into that paint, it's hard. So look, it's the F-U-C-K. You see the beginnings of, oh, no, it's a U. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah, that was.
Supposed to be F-U.
Yeah.
She kind of got it. You can tell she got a little weak around the U part.
Yeah, all right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your report.
I'm starting to get tired digging into that paint.
My goodness.
That's what it was.
Aye, front page news when we come back. What are we talking about?
You know what we're talking about. Donald Trump and these transcripts from his phone call with the president of Ukraine.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. Shout out to $2 Steve, right?
That's my guy.
If you don't know who $2 Steve is, he's an attorney who I don't even know how much money. He must take out at least $1 million.
$30,000 to $2 bills every year from the bank.
Only $30,000?
This guy. But
it got to be more than that.
Nobody exaggerates like black people. $1 million. He's about to go crazy. He takes out $1 million in $2 bills.
It got
to
be more than $30,000. He gives $2 all day long to people.
It's $2, Envy. And he gives you like $6.
That's about 15,000 bills. And it's not like he's giving it down the math.
It's not he's giving it to everybody in the room. Salute to my
guy.
Yes,
he does
Steve.
Give it to everybody in the room.
No,
he does.
No, he gives it to people he knows. He's not walking around just handing out.
Well, he actually does give it to strangers too.
He gives it to strangers too.
If the strangers are sitting by you.
No, I think he gives it to people at restaurants like just randomly.
Yeah, he gives it to everybody. I seen him give it to everybody.
It ain't no $1 million.
No.
Well, $2. Boy, niggas.
What? That would mean he gives out 500,000 bills.
Whatever a Negro tell you, cut it in half and then cut that in half. Okay?
Okay. Let's move on.
Right.
And by the way, happy birthday to my mom. Today's my mom's birthday. Happy birthday,
I got
$2
mommy. For her. Happy birthday, Mama Yee. All right. Well, let's get in the front page news. It's Thursday Night Football. The bum-ass Philadelphia Eagles take on the Green Bay Packers.
They all bums, though. They 1-2. I mean, really, they all bums. They really looking up at the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC East, you know
all
what
right.
I mean? Drop on the clues bombs for my Cowboys.
All right. What else we talk about?
Well, they released a transcript of the call that Donald Trump had with President Zelensky from Ukraine. And you can see in that phone call that he is trying to get a favor for a favor because he's supposed to be providing them with some financial support, $400 million. And then Trump said, I would like you to do us a favor, though. And then he asked for them to start a corruption investigation connected to former Vice President Joe Biden, who, of course, is his Democratic rival. So this could benefit Donald Trump politically. And you're not allowed to do that. The exchange also gave further evidence that the president sought to harness the power of the United States government to further a political investigation. So in other words, he's using his own power to try to get something as a favor from another president in return that would benefit him when it comes to politics and the 2020 election. All right. So they're calling that a quid pro quo. Now, Donald Trump has denied these charges. And we played that for you earlier this hour. And then he appeared at a press conference along with Ukrainian President Zelensky and had this to say.
I think good phone call. It was normal. We spoke about many things. And so I think, and you read it, that nobody pushed me. Yes.
In other words, no pressure.
All right. Now, the White House also accidentally sent talking points about what happened on that phone call to Democrats. Now, those talking points were not supposed to go to the Democrats. So it was basically telling them what to say.
Yeah, they were supposed to go to Fox News.
About Donald Trump's phone
call.
They
on code.
So the transcript has a list of myths and what the president, what they wanted them to say about the president. They said what the president actually talked about was entirely proper. And then there's a list of things that they are told to respond and say that it is entirely appropriate for the president to ask a foreign leader to investigate any connection between his country and attempted interference in the 2016 election.
That is a lie. And it's been so many offenses, and this is just the latest impeachable offense. Like, it's very important to know, like, this is the latest impeachable offense, okay? Asking foreign officials to investigate political opponents, you can't do that. Not to mention obstruction of justice, profiting from the presidency, abuse of power, violating immigrants' rights to due process, violating campaign finance laws. It's been so many things he's done that are impeachable.
Now, here's Joe Biden on Jimmy Kimmel, and here's what he had to say about this whole Donald Trump, Ukrainian president conversation and the impeachment.
The idea that someone would call a head of a foreign state ahead of time, withhold significant military aid that's badly needed in order to prevent the Russian separatists who are in Ukraine from taking over Ukraine, and then ask basically to, can you cooperate with Rudy Giuliani? He's coming over and talked about getting the Justice Department engaged in this. I mean, it's such a blatant abuse of power that it's, I don't think it can stand.
I'm just happy Democrats are finally acting like what Trump is doing is criminal and wrong. Because when you don't act like something is wrong, the general public will think it's right. They'll think it's okay. The things that he's been doing is criminal. It's just Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats are being cowards and not moving on it. So I'm glad they're not being cowards.
Well, the Republicans are still standing with Trump, of course, and saying that there was nothing wrong with this.
Not all of them.
And that if you impeach the president over a phone call, this is a terrible
situation. Not all of them. Don't say Republicans. That's a very blanket statement. It's not all of them. A lot of Republicans saying the opposite. Mitt Romney and a lot of those guys are saying, no, this is very concerning.
To impeach him?
They're saying it's very concerning, and yes, this is an impeachable offense. You didn't see, what's the black dude on Fox, Juan, I can't remember Juan last night. He was saying last night, he was like, yo, all y'all doing is screaming a bunch of talking points. If he actually did this, this is a crime. And they jumped, oh my God, they jumped on him so bad.
All right, well, that is your front page news.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Y'all remember the first concert y'all went to ever?
Yes, I do.
Who was it?
1998, Hard Knock Life Tour. Jay-Z, DMX, Method Man, Redman, Ja Rule came out. Beanie Siegel came out. Bleak came out. They weren't, Ja Rule, Meth, and Beanie weren't popping yet. Mm-hmm. But Jay was the headliner, and it was DMX and Meth and Red with the opening acts. Mm-hmm. Charleston, South Carolina.
Damn, what about you, Yee?
Mine is very random.
Who was it?
It was a heavy metal concert.
Oh.
It was Anthrax and Warrant. And my dad took me because it was free tickets from a client. And, you know, my dad likes anything that's free. So we went just because of that. I don't even think he knew who they were.
Ask me a bet. Okay.
Mine was Run DMC.
Okay.
LL Cool J.
Okay.
And Rakim.
All right. Now ask me what's the first hip-hop song I ever heard.
What's the first hip-hop song?
First hip-hop song I ever heard. I was 7 to 8 years old. It was Paid in Full by Rakim Allah. My cousin Tyrone McKelvey, salute to Tyrone McKelvey. Mm-hmm. He let me listen to that record and our Aunt Lottie's trailer. And that's when I, that was the first hip-hop record I ever heard, and I've been in love with that song ever since.
Okay, well, my pops took me to see Rakim in Madison Square Garden, nice. Run DMC at LL, and Rakim will be joining us when we come back.
That's why we. That's why your uncles and aunties are telling these old stories.
That's right.
Nice. And I want to shout out to Angie Martinez since we're talking about old stories, because her show actually premieres on WeTV tonight, on Untold Stories of Hip-Hop, mm-hmm. and she's on tonight with Snoop Dogg and Cardi B.
Okay. Yes. All right.
But Rakim is up next.
Yep, we'll keep with Rakim.
The God, he's got a book out called Sweat the Technique.
That's right. And we're going to do a mini mix, too. So let me know your favorite Rakim joints.
All your uncles and aunties about to have a good time this morning. Learn something, kids.
Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot. The spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club, and we got a whole legend in the building
Man,
this morning.
A whole legend. God MC.
Rakim.
Thank you. Rakim Allah.
Rakim.
Peace and love, y'all. Peace and love.
How you feeling this morning, man?
Pretty good, man. A little early.
You're not a morning guy, right?
Not too much, man.
Yeah.
I feel kind of slow. But, I mean, I had to get up for this, man.
We got a lot to talk about today.
A lot. Right,
this is history. So let's start from the beginning.
Gotcha.
Rakim, as a kid, growing up, what got you into hip-hop?
I was always into music before that. Played in a band, school band and all that. You know, music in the house coming up as a kid. So when hip-hop came out, it just felt good. Just felt natural, you know what I mean? And I guess just my love for music, played instruments, kind of just poured over to hip-hop.
So let's get to why he's here, okay? Mm-hmm. Because he has a book out, Sweat the Technique.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Why a book? Why now? Because you are notoriously mysterious.
Yes, sir.
So why
yes, sir.
A book? Why not?
Never does interviews. Never really see him.
Yeah. Not much.
Not much.
Yeah, he does them, just not really.
Yeah, I do, but just, you know, I keep it at a limit, man. But, yeah, man, I thought that, you know, I always wanted to put a book out. I'm a humble dude, so in the beginning, I didn't think I was interested enough to put out a book and it appeal to people. But this right here is more of a inspiring, you know, I'm trying to inspire artists or inspire people. You know, period, man. So, you know, it was a good way for me to get my point across as far as why I love music and why I write like I do, why I feel, you know, like I do. And again, at the same time, hope to inspire artists at the same time.
I'm sure a lot of people do want to know about your technique. And you do have a lot of that in there. You break down the songs and things that you learn as you were writing and the laid-back style. You even discuss Marley Marl telling you that you need to get a little more
energy.
Yeah,
you weren't with it though.
Yeah, you know what I mean. You know, as much respect as I have for Marley and Shan, I kind of at that time knew what was best for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In the beginning, I was barking a little bit. My style was all right. But as I got a little older and started understanding who I was and trying to be as natural as I can, you know what I mean? So, you know, it was just natural for me to kind of, you know, shape, you know, mold into my own shape and kind of, you know, be me. And it was against the grain, you know, like he said, everybody else was kind of yelling.
Mm-hmm.
But I just felt like, you know, that's who I was and I can get over with that stuff.
What gave you the confidence to push back on Molly Mall and MC Shan?
It was a little rough.
Did you talk about on the train ride how you thought about it a lot?
Yeah, word up. I was hoping that I didn't, you know,
offend them.
Yeah, word up. And even, you know, not listen and make a bad decision. You know what I mean? But, you know, Molly, you know, he was cool with it. I remember, you know, in the studio, I was sitting on the couch and I started rapping. So he let the rhyme get almost to the end. He stopped the music. He was like, yo, why don't you get up and try, you know, put a little more energy in it.
Told you to stand up.
Yeah. Nah, he told me stand up yet. He was just like, put a little more energy in it. So I was like, all right. Started track over, started rhyming, kind of like the same thing. He stopped it again, like, yo, you know, it sound all right, man, but why don't you try standing up? I was like, Molly, you know, if I stand or if I sit, man, it's going to sound the same. So at that point, I kind of realized what he was trying to do, and it just made me more defensive. And I'm glad I did it, you know, looking back. You know, looking back, I'm glad I did it. But, you know, I said, you know, on the ride home, it was like, you know, that's Molly Mall, man. You know, he could have gave me some good, you know, insight as far as what I need to, you know, get to the next level. But I was like, Rod, that's you, man. That's you. You can't second guess yourself.
How difficult was it being from Long Island? Because at the time, it was Queens.
Yeah, it was
hard. It was the Bronx. It was Brooklyn. But y'all come from an extended place of Queens, almost Long Island.
Yeah, word up. It was hard, man. A lot of people from the city ain't take us serious yet, it felt like. You know what I mean? Like, yo, where you from? I'm from Long Island. You know, every now and then you get that look, you know what I mean? But for me, it only made me, you know, stick my chest out a little more, stand a little firmer, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I felt that I was ready for what it was, man. But, you know, like even in the rhymes, rough enough to break New York from Long Island. I was trying to let them know then, like, I know what it is. I get it. But, you know, I'm trying to, you know,
because most people think of Long Island, they think of the Hamptons. They think of Caucasian white families. They don't necessarily know that there's hoods in Long Island.
Indeed, so.
Did Molly ever admit he was wrong? When he said that you put people to sleep, did he?
that's the crazy. But I remember we did a show together shortly after the record came out, and I'm walking up to the back door. I look up, I see Molly and Shan standing there. So I walk over to him, and I look up again, and Molly's smiling. So he's like, yo, I get it now, man. He said, I get it, man. Like, yo, the record is dope. I get it. And then he even said, yo, I'm glad you know, stuck to your guns. Mm-hmm. He's like, I get it now. Mm-hmm. He didn't really say he was wrong, but he got me.
That was his way of saying it.
Yeah, word up. It was dope, though.
Because you say that, too. You can't always do what everybody else is doing. A lot of times they see artists being successful and people try to emulate what someone else is doing, thinking that's my path. But a lot of times you have to do what's different than what's out there right now.
Word up. You got to do what works for you. And I don't know if it was, you know, intuition. I don't know if it was just me being stubborn. I was kind of stubborn when I was young. But whatever it was, you know, I'm glad that, you know, I stuck to my guns and understood what was best for me.
And then you finally got your deal?
Yeah.
Now, to explain, how did you finally get that deal? Being so different, funny, your rhymes so different.
It was a funny story, man. I was sitting at the crib one day, and before that, I went to a friend's house and made a tape, cassette tape. I think it was like 30 minutes on each side, rhymed on each side. I thought I was going to be a football player.
Quarterback,
you know what I mean? So I made me one more tape and was going to take it to college. So whenever, you know, somebody start beefing, I have to rap and just put my tape in.
So you walked around with a boombox, man.
Well, that tape, at least, you know what I mean?
Tape, right.
But somebody knocked on the door one day.
Alvin
Tony, old friend, played on the football team together too, my man. Knocked on the door, and I go to the door, I look out, see somebody with him, and, my thing was, don't bring nobody to the crib.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm already a little upset when I see it with somebody, especially somebody I don't know. So I look, so I'm like, yo. He's like, yo, this dude work with Molly Mall and Magic and such and such. He's looking for MC to. So I'm like, all right. But at this point still, I'm kind of steadfast on going to college, man. I've been working out, get my little, you know, throwing on, you know, getting myself in shape.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I was like, all right, let him in. Went downstairs and, You know, he told me he worked with BLS, you know, Marley and all of that. So I got the tape, put the tape in, started playing it. He sat there, he was like, yo, you know, we can go, you know, go to Marley house and make a record. I said, well, you know, I don't really want to make a record. I've been rhyming, it felt like for so long, I was content with being a neighborhood rapper and wanting to go to college. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, he was like, yo, I know Marley, man. You know, we can go to his house, we can get in the studio. So I said, all right. Spoke to him for a minute. He left, and maybe 2-3 weeks later, he came back and was like, yo, you know, I want to go to Marley house. You got something? I was like, nah, but, you know, we can whip something up. You know, I'm ready. Let's do it. Went downstairs, moms and pops, a little hangout spot, ran through some crates, grabbed some records, and started the journey, man. But, you know, it was one of them things where you kind of happy about the situation, but then again, you know, you kind of past that, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it was just one of them things where I was like, yeah, whatever, if it happened, you know, it happened.
Now, you mentioned your mom and pop's crib, right? You went to the basement to get records.
Yeah.
Now, what was their mindset when you started doing music? Because, of course, hip-hop was frowned upon back then. They thought it was going to be something that only happened for 2 years.
Yeah.
You got a scholarship. You're about to go to college. You talk about rapping?
Yeah, word is born. It was one of them things. My mom, you know, she was into music heavy. She sang everything from jazz to opera. My pops loved music, you know, and, you know, he even managed my older brother with a couple bands that they had. So music, the love for music was in the house. They knew how good I was in football, you know what I mean? But, you know, I played instruments since I was in first grade. They knew it was a love. They gave me the love, you know what I mean? My mom's embedded that in me, so they kind of expected it. But, you know, they was cautious. They was like, you know, is this what you want to do? I'm like, you know, such and such. They gave me the pros and cons, you know what I mean? But they seen I loved it, and I guess they felt I had potential. So they let me chase my dreams. Wow. I had to, you know, leave high school and everything. You know, when I met Eric, like I said, it was one of them things like, yeah, all right, if it happened, it happened. It happened. I was still in school. Eric come over to the house one day. He was like, yo, you're going to have to sign out of school. I was like, are you crazy, man? I said, yo, you're going to have to sign out. They ready to go on a big tour. So I went and sat down. My mom's and pops spoke to him. You know, my mom's gave me that look. My pops was, you know, more encouraging because he knew, you know, well, look, if it don't happen, you know, he can come back and he can finish getting his education. You know, my pops is one of them, you know, kind of dudes. He understood. But mom's is a little more hesitant. And matter of fact, I had to promise her that I would get my GED.
Mm-hmm. Did you get it?
Not yet. You know what I mean? I'm still young, man. Still young. But
what was the tour and how much money was it? Because I'm trying to figure out how do you explain this to your parents.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was a tour with LL Cool J, Houdini, couple, you know, the big dogs in the game.
So that sounds promising.
Yeah, so they knew, like, well, if he's going out with these people here, then maybe, you know, he got a...
But were you getting paid, though?
Oh, yeah, we was getting right.
All right, we got more with Rakim when we come back, though. The Breakfast Club, we're still kicking it with Rakim the God. Charlamagne?
You know, you evolved the lyricism in hip-hop. Like, rappers weren't rhyming like they are now before you.
Thought-provoking, mm-hmm. Correct.
You know what I'm saying? So who do you think evolved lyricism in hip-hop since you?
Since me? That's a good question. I think since me, a lot more styles came out. Like I like the way Bus and Twista was flipping it, you know what I mean? Like I just started like hearing different styles, people pushing it, you know, to the next level, things like that. I always liked, you know, to take it back a little bit. I always liked people like Sadat X because he always kind of rhymed without the regular cookie cutter format, you know what I mean? But I just like when I hear something refreshing and different from. Just, you know, what's out already.
Mm-hmm. What about now? Anybody now?
I don't know. It's kind of, right now, it's a little, I don't know if I want to say over my head, but it's you know, the rap now is it's more, how could I say it? It's more like ad-lib style to me. It's like what I would do on an ad-lib.
Right.
But, you know, you still got, you know, rappers out there just doing their thing. Of course, Kendrick, you know, push the ball.
Super lyricist.
World is ball. Yeah. You know, you got J. Cole that's, you know, pushing the bar and letting everybody know what it's supposed to be. You know, So luckily there's still, you know, that essence of, you know, what it should be out there and young.
Right.
You know what I mean? It ain't like somebody like myself saying it gotta be like this, and the young kids mm-hmm. looking up like, but it's good that, you know, it's young cats out there pushing the ball, still, you know, being lyricists. And,
mm-hmm. and you should check out Rhapsody too. If you like Kendrick and Cole, you like Rhapsody.
Rhapsody, yeah, I heard he was dope.
Oh, she is a woman.
She, oh, she, yeah, yeah. I heard she was dope. Yeah.
Now, for someone who takes their pen as serious as you, who mm-hmm. takes writing as serious as you, you tell that in the book. What do you think about rappers who say, we don't write, we go in the booth and we just...
Well, I could freestyle, but I wouldn't, you know, try to freestyle a record. To me, that's a skill that, you know, certain people possess. Like Jay say he don't write. If Jay don't write, what I hear, Jay is dope as hell.
Yeah.
To be able to do that and say, yo, not. First of all, I can't even remember the rhymes I write. You know what I mean? I gotta write them, I gotta read them, and then I gotta play it back for a while. Probably because when I'm writing, what I just wrote is like I don't keep going back to the top. Mm-hmm. Once, you know, when I'm writing, I stay at that point to try to get to the next point. But to me, that's a gift to be able to do that, man. And, you know, some people have that gift.
Is it Biggie had it too?
Yeah, that's, you know.
Did ever get a chance, like we talk about longevity in the industry, did ever become a chance where it was difficult for you? Because, you know, we look at artists like your LLs, your Run DMCs, your Busta Rhymes, who seem like they've always had performances or albums. Was there ever a time where it was like it was difficult to get shows? Because at one time, they might have not been messing with the older artists. Was it ever difficult at all?
Nah, I think the shows was always kind of easy. I think trying to find that passion to get back in the booth when the game was changing from, you know, like the 90s, the late 90s, going into the gangster rap.
Mm-hmm.
It was just trying to find a lane when everybody was, you know, talking to gangster rap. And you know, me, I knew that was contrary to what I do.
But that's where you from, though.
I know, but I didn't glorify, you know, the gangster rap. It was more of a, I guess, feeling. But I tried to, you know, I always tried to, you know, put consciousness to my rap, things of that nature.
But y'all had y'all gangster ways, though, because I was told that you were the only popular New York rapper back in the day who could go anywhere at any given time by himself and not have with the jewels on and not have no problems.
Well, yeah, you know what we knew in the street was, you know, I tried to keep that in the street, but yeah, we was heavy in the street. We tried to take, you know, take our loved ones out the street, took them on tour with us, and, you know, things of that nature. But I tried to separate the two. You know what I mean? I didn't want to. Number one, I didn't want to exploit their lifestyle. You know what I mean? And I didn't want to try to exploit the game in my style. So, you know, it was a conscious decision that I made back then, and I'm glad I did it, because it's, you know, when we look at hip hop today, it's hard for rappers to separate themselves from
mm-hmm.
the street life that we live, or the people that hang around us, and the music. And a lot of times, you know, that conflicts with, you know, what it is. So, you know, I'm happy and lucky that, you know, I was able to make some of the decisions that I did and do things the way I did it, because the outcome could have been a lot different for me.
Yeah. Right, because during that time, you also signed with Aftermath.
Yeah.
And that was the issue that you guys had.
Yeah.
Him wanting you to be more than
a rapper. Yes, man. He
really?
Heard a lot of stories. Yeah. Somebody that we knew was, they had moved out there and was working with Dre. And they kind of, I guess they used to tell Dre, you know, some things here and there. And me and Dre would sit down in the studio. And I started getting, you know, catching a pattern. Dre would be like, yo, why don't you, such and such, or we'll be talking and be like, yo, remember that story you told me the other day? Won't you? I'm like, nah, Dre, that's reality, man. That's my man that's caught up in the bond, that's going through that shit. That's real life. But yeah, man, he, you know, but that's his MO. He likes, you know, that's what works for him.
Did you ever record anything where you were like, okay, I'm gonna try it and see how it comes out?
Dre, he would present a track. 9 times out of 10, he'd be like, I want you to, you know, talk crap on this one. But my way, I guess, of talking crap is a little different.
You could curse.
Huh? I can't.
My
way of talking shit.
There you go.
A little different. Crap. You know what I mean? Then, but yeah, he would all yo talk shit on this one, man. Talk shit. But I would get a little grimier than I usually would, mm-hmm. but it was still, you know, not cross the line as far as he wanted me to. He mm-hmm. wanted me to tell stories and I guess be a little disrespectful, but you know, that ain't right.
But isn't that's putting the wrong things in the baby's brains?
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. And I thought like funny thing that I always said was like, Trey, man, we've been there, done that. I used to always run that bomb, figuring he'd catch on, but nah, you know, this is what it is. And you know, this is what they respect, is I'm like. So, you know, we tried. We did a couple joints here and there.
I said, because you were on Truth Hurts.
Yeah, really, it didn't.
The Addicted, you were on that song.
Well, he's on the joint with Jay, what's it called? How did you and Jay get up and do that record?
The Watcher.
Yeah.
That record was tough.
That was actually a joint that Dre had for a movie. And he wanted to do part two. I don't know if they was doing part two of the movie. Mm-hmm. Dre came up. He was like, yo, you know, want you to put a verse on it. Originally, it was supposed to be for Dre. So he sent me the track in New York. I sent it back to him. He had it for a minute. And then he played it for Jay. Jay heard it and basically bought it off of Dre. So, it was one of them joints. I'm glad Jay did it. Word up, because, you know, I got a lot of respect for Jay. And I needed that at that time. You know what I mean?
Why'd you need it?
Just to, I guess, solidify for me, you know what I mean? Like, at that time, I've been out since 86. Everybody was categorizing rap as old school or this. Mm-hmm. And things were starting to separate at that point. And to be able to, you know, be on a joint with Dre and Jay, you know what I mean? Just let people know that, you know, yeah, I've been around for a while, but I still know what I'm doing, and I'm still, you know, I'm still here.
Do you think people overlook the 80s? Because even when you see, like, these top 10, top 20 lists, it's like, yeah, they ignore the 80s. They ignore the Canes, the Rakims, the KRSs.
I think they kind of, I don't know, it's like they want to judge hip-hop after that. Like, that was just, I don't know, like, that was the measuring stick on how it should go, and then now it's, you know, what they feel. But you can't say who's the best or you know, top 50 without even going back to, like I said, Melly Mel and Grandmaster Caz and them cats, because, you know, I got the utmost respect for them. Mm-hmm. And I feel I wouldn't have been as good as I was if I wasn't watching them kids mm-hmm. like I was. You know what I mean? So you gotta understand what it is, and you gotta respect the history as well as the present, man.
All right, let's get into a Rakim mini mix. Let me know your favorite Eric B. and Rakim joint right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was a Rakim mini mix. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Rakim. Anybody take shots at you coming up? Because we had Eric up here. And he was like, he told us a story about
Eric Sermon.
Mm. He told us a story about one time where y'all ran up on him in the store, and he said he was scared to death. He thought y'all was gonna beat his ass. Mm. But you know, who took shots at you for being a lyricist and coming so strong? Was there any artist that took a shot at y'all, that y'all had rap battles, any old school beefs?
No.
Besides Eric Sermon.
I thought they tried to get fly with me one time. It was something. It was dealing with hip hop, but kind of outside of EPMD and Eric B. and Rakim. Something happened with somebody that they met and somebody that I met, and it got a little funky. But I think, since, I don't know, man, like me and Juan Dance, where I grew up, I was pretty much known since, you know, I had a couple brothers and sisters that kind of paved the way. So I was a little Griff, mm-hmm. you know, in the hood. I was also a little wild. You know, I caught my first gun charge at 12.
Mm. So, at 12?
12 years old.
Where was you carrying a gun at 12?
Everywhere. Everywhere.
You needed to at the time, Lord.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And at that time, I'm rapping. I'm hanging out with people that's in high school and in college, going all over Long Island, you know, some places in New York. And I'm, you know, 11, 12 years old.
You always was advanced. You wrote your first rhyme at 7. Was carrying a gun by 12.
He was an old soul.
Old soul.
Jeez.
You know what I mean?
Is there any lyrical war you wanted to happen? Following up on every question a little bit, because like we hear the rumors about Kane.
Yeah.
KRS-One. Do you look back and be like, you know what? I did want that smoke.
Yeah,
I wanted
that smoke.
You know what? Like people used to always gas me and Kane. And I think it's in a book where People tell me, oh, he talking to you, Rock? I don't know, man. But so it got to the point, I think Kane said something, see leaders and I laugh. So it's like I went to the studio and did Let the Rhythm Hit Him. And the whole song was for Kane. But it was like four bars in it where I said something. I said it, you know, said something directly to him. Eric B. Brother was in live and Kane friend, G-Rap friend. So he took the track. As soon as I finished it, took it over to Kane house and played it for Kane. So I'm sitting at the house in Long Island. Phone rang. Ant, what up, man? Oh, what's good, Rock? Kane want to talk to you. As soon as he said Kane, I was like, I know he ain't just go to Kane house and put him on the phone. I wasn't even thinking about the track. You know what I mean? I said, I know he ain't just go to this dude house and put him on the phone. Yo, what up, Kane? Yo, Rye, yo, man, I just heard the track. Like, you just heard the track? Well, that's like yesterday. Yeah, yo, man, I just want to say, I don't got no beef with you. I don't be writing rhymes about you, this and that, man. You know, people be gassing, boom, boom. He's like, yo, but I ain't got no beef with you. You know, and I'm not, you know, speaking to you when I'm, so I'm like, word, man. So, you know, I had to respect that. You know what I mean? He called me, spoke to me like a man and told me, yo, Rye, I ain't got no beef, such and such. So I went back and took it out. I went back to the studio and took it out.
So you said his name directly in the original version?
I said, ripping your wrath in half. Who gets the last laugh? And something just before that. But I let people, you know.
Ripping your wrath in half, okay.
Yeah, you know, he had the wrath of Kane.
That
came out. And then he said, you know, I see leaders and I laugh. I said, ripping your wrath in half. Who gets the last laugh? Followers become leaders, but without a path, you're mentally paralyzed. Crippled your third eye, rhymes are blurred, then it occurred that you heard I reduced the, you know what I mean? Ooh. So I was just, you know what I mean? So that was one of the joints where I was getting mad, and like Kane said, they was gassing me, and was probably gassing him. Every time I make a song, they tell Kane, oh, he talking about you, vice versa.
Thank God y'all didn't have social media. Y'all might have really went
to war.
Oh, yeah,
it would have been on the pop. Would have been on the pop.
I saw Kane on Drink Champs. He said he still would batter you for $500,000.
That's some good money. I think we can get a little more than that, though, Kane.
Yeah.
I think we can get a little more than that.
You still think you can get that, Kane?
Put it this way, man. Kane is dope, but, like, I can't let nobody, you know what I mean? I do whatever I have to do to get in his ass. I love you, Kane. I do whatever I got to do to, you know what I mean? But, you know, I think at this point, me and Kane's styles are so different. Mm-hmm. I think back then it was a little more similar with the, fighting it'll make you choke, you can't provoke, you can't cope. These are the broken Kane with the, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think we was more similar then, man, I think. But I think I got a little, got into a little more the conscious rap. And, you know, Kane is still Kane. But yeah, man, like, you know, at this point, you know, I'm still cocky, you know what I mean? and you know, I don't think nobody is better than me. That's just my mindset. And when I start thinking different, I should quit rapping.
What's your relationship with Eric B?
We all right now, man. It was a little shaky.
Got a little shaky for a little bit.
Yeah, but we good. We just did a little tour. Mm-hmm. Went on a little road tour. Mm-hmm. And, like, with me, I felt like, you know, I was a little bitter about the situation, you know, the business situation me and him had. But at the end of the day, you know, it was bigger than me and Eric B. Right. Like, the people that supported us and got us to this point, I think I owe that to them, man, so.
And that's another thing a conversation could have fixed back then.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
If you guys would have communicated and he would have said, this is the problem I have, and you could have just...
All my man had to say back then is like, yo, Rye, I f***ed up. That's it. And he had to say, yo, this thing, right. Yo, I'm sorry, but
I should have signed
yo, Rye, I f***ed up. All right. Dap out. We'll do that shit again, man. And we keep it moving. But he wouldn't admit to his mistake. That was a problem. I'm big on principle. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But...
Maybe he was mad that you thought the title Eric B was president was corny,
right?
Well, Sweat the Technique.
I love you, E. You know definitely, that kid.
Definitely check
go
it out.
Go get this right now.
Rock him. Sweat the Technique. Word and we appreciate up. You for joining
hey,
us.
No doubt. Thanks for the
We've
welcome.
We've been up now. Here 10 years. We've been trying to get you for about 10, and we finally got you.
Work.
All right. It's the Breakfast Club. It's Rock him.
Yes, sir. Peace and love, y'all.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Oh. On The Breakfast Club.
Well, looks like Malik Yoba was doing his press runs and he was sitting down with The Root and he had some issues. He was responding. They asked him to respond to a Facebook post by Mariah Lopez Ebony where she accused him of soliciting sex from her when she was 13 and 16 years old, and Malik Yoba responded that he didn't know her. I have no idea who she is. And things went left, okay? Apparently, according to Malik Yoba, he sat down with the person interviewing him.
Blogsworth.
Yes, Blogsworth. And they had a whole conversation about what was going to happen in this interview. Here's what he said.
What do you say to trans black women who say that you're centering yourself and that you're being opportunistic?
So you and I sat for 4 hours the other day.
Correct.
And we decided how we were going to approach this.
We went through a number of questions.
We decided how we were going to approach this.
And we said recording, and the more you talk, the better, the worse it looks for you. That's
really?
What I'm saying. Yes, sir.
This looks bad for me.
Yes, because I'm asking
out.
A number of questions.
We're done, bro.
Okay.
All right. Well, it got a little worse from there as things escalated. And he just didn't appreciate the questions, I guess, that he felt like they hadn't agreed on. He wanted to talk about policy and focus on that. And I guess he had broken down what was going to happen in each part of the interview. And then here's what happened with Blogsworth.
We sat for four hours. And you're going to stand some allegations? You. What the is wrong with you? This is my life.
Can you guys not? This is like...
That's up, man.
We have
is wrong with you, man? We sat for 4 hours.
All right, bro.
Don't tell me. I want the cards. You can't use any of it. There's no release of signs. I want the cards out of all these cameras.
We can't give you our cards.
All right. So the people that were in the room, by the way, while this was happening, it was two video producers for The Root, two people who were representing Malik Yoba, which were his 18-year-old daughter, and also his 18-year-old daughter, and The Root's senior video producer, Malik Yoba's publicist, and The Root's video producers. They all tried to calm him down, but he was very upset. He continued to curse until he left the studio. Now, he is supposed to be co-hosting a workshop leading up to the Transnational Visibility March this Thursday.
And nope. Not until you go to an anger management workshop, Malik. Okay, learn how to control your temper and your emotions.
Yeah, even when he was up here, he just didn't want to address certain things. I guess he felt like it took away from the conversation that he was trying to have.
He's been in the business too long to be reacting like that.
He doesn't like people saying what social media said. He doesn't like social media at all.
The charges and allegations against him. I think when he came up here, he just wanted to talk about the conversation of him being attracted to trans women and how that affected and having that open conversation. He didn't want that conversation.
But if somebody brings up the allegations, just say they're not true and keep it moving.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, you make it a bigger deal when you get mad.
You've been in the business way too long to be reacting like that. And when you react like that, people will automatically think you're guilty. But I also have two questions. What were Blogsworth and Malik Yoba talking about for 4 hours? And also, who had the best This Is My Life? R. Kelly or Malik Yoba?
I'm fighting for my life. Okay. This is my life.
Ooh, let me hear that again. This might be a clone. Let me hear it again now.
No, you stupid.
Hold on now. Play it one more time.
I'm fighting for my life. This is my life.
I'm going with R. Kelly. R. Kelly still got it. Still got the best This Is My Life.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
Oh, my goodness.
Y'all don't want to vote on this one?
No,
I'm not messing with you.
Hey,
man.
Taylor, put a poll up on Breakfast Club page. Boy. Who had the best This Is My Life, Malik Yoba or R. Kelly?
Well, who are you giving your donkey to?
Neither one of them. That's for sure. All right. Okay. But it's going.
What?
So what? So what?
We need to grow up in here.
Why don't you? I'll be grown until you start acting immature. I'll be perfectly grown until you start acting like this.
We need to grow up.
Now,
man.
So it's a teacher in Long Island who needs to come to the front of the congregation. We like to have a word with her. Racial and insensitive class assignments we need to discuss.
All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
You are a donkey. It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, huh? I'm gonna fatten all that shit around your eye.
They want this man to throw them blows, man. They wait for Charlemagne to tap these gloves. Let's go.
They had to make a judgment of who was gonna be on the Donkey of the Day. They chose you.
Yes. It's the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Thursday, September 26th goes to a woman named Shelly Scully. Oh, the mayonnaise is heavy in this story. Now, I was looking at Fox5NY.com as well as Daily Mail online, and they both reported a story about a social studies teacher at John W. Dodd Middle School in Freeport, Long Island, named Shelly Scully. Now, what is Shelly Scully being accused of? Well, a woman named Darlene McCurdy took to Facebook to let people know that her, as well as her granddaughter, had some concerns about Shelly Scully's class assignments. Would you like to hear what is the assignment that has people in an uproar? Let's go to Fox 5 NY for the report, please.
A controversial assignment is being called racist and insensitive in Freeport. This after a social studies teacher at John W. Dodd Middle School handed out an assignment for students to come up with a funny caption for photographs of slavery because she didn't want to be bored. Pastor Arthur Mackey Jr. says photos of the assignment were widely shared over the weekend on Facebook. It shows different pictures of former slaves during the Reconstruction era. Mackey calls it downright disturbing, especially when we as a country have made so much progress. Mackey, along with some community residents, are calling on the district to terminate the teacher's teaching certificate. In a statement, the Freeport Superintendent of Schools says any insensitive comments made by staff are taken very seriously. However, no further comment could be made as an investigation is underway.
You gave the kids pictures of slavery and asked them to write funny captions about it. Do I need to continue?
No.
Or do some donkey of the day saw themselves? Okay, I'll just talk a little bit more. You know, when I hear quotes like this, I think of the words of Malcolm X when he said, only a fool will let his enemy teach his children. What does that quote mean? Malcolm was basically saying black people need to build their own schools and take control of their kids' education. Okay, you have to educate children in the ways of their culture to maintain their culture and to advance our interests and maintain our survival. You cannot help but to be reminded of that quote when you hear stories like this. Why, Shelley? Why? Okay, you wanted kids to make funny captions of slavery because you were bored? I know what this is. See, you be on social media, probably Facebook. Okay, there's a white Twitter, too, just like there's a black Twitter. And, you know, you and your fellow human jars of Hellmans, y'all be on there trying to be funny and witty and as creative as black Twitter. And you don't got no bars. So being that you don't got any bars, you did what plenty of white people have done, and that's let black people do the work and white people take the credit for it, okay? I'm saying all that to say, come up with your own meme caption, Shelley, all right? And it's one thing to have a cultural blind spot, say something, do something that you may not realize is highly offensive, but Shelley, come on, you knew this was offensive. And when you are the descendants of the oppressor, the privileged, the children of those who actually benefited off the blood of our ancestors who built this country for free, you can't make jokes about black trauma simply because you're bored. Please let Chelsea Handler give Shelley Scully the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. That is way too much Dan mayonnaise.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Yes, indeed.
Now, when we come back, ask Yee. 800-585-1051 if you need relationship advice. Or any type of advice, you can call Yee right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Hey, how you doing? My name is Ken. I'm from upstate New York.
All right, man. What's your question for Yee?
Oh, first of all, how you doing, Charlamagne Tha God, DJ NZ and Angela Yee?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been listening to y'all for a while. I'm on the road right now. I listen to y'all podcasts all the time.
Thank you, bro.
My red, black privilege and all that. Yeah, so y'all dope. But basically, my question for you is, so about a month ago, I was over in this club area in upstate Rochester, New York, and I came across this beautiful girl. We caught eyes, and the energy was just there. It was magnetic, you know what I'm saying? So from there, I approached her, and she gave me a number and stuff like that. So one thing led to another, and I started pulling up on her. So she kept it real with me from the jump. Like, listen, I got another situation going on with a guy. And I didn't know how serious the situation was.
Okay.
So eventually, I took her out on a nice date, and she wanted to return the favor. So I allowed her to take me to Dave and Buster's, and it was really fun. We had a great time.
That's cute.
And that, yeah, so, you know, it led me to ask her. I'm like, yo, listen, so you and this dude, what's going on with that? You know, because you're taking me on a date to sorry about that. Well, you're taking me on a date. So, boom. After that, she tells me, like, yeah, you know, I see him, you know, one to maybe three times a week. He might come over. So
you can't handle the truth.
Yeah, you know, I took the truth. I ate that like a champ. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, I kept pulling up on her, and we ended up doing the do.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, I was with her, and we did the do, and this is our third time doing it, and it was crazy. It was crazy, and she told me it was crazy. But then afterwards, when we were finished, like, I brought her home, and we were talking outside her house, and she told me, hey, I think that I just need to have 2 weeks without seeing you.
Wow.
You know, and then she texted me when I got home, like, you know, I miss you already, you know, and I just don't know what I should do any further with the situation. Like, I don't want to cut her off, but I'm feeling like I might have to in order to keep my sanity.
Well, Cameron, to tell you the truth, sounds like she cut you off for 2 weeks already anyway, so you don't have much choice when it comes to that.
When I woke up in this morning, I went to sleep early last night. I woke up this morning, she had called me 3 times.
Right. So she told you she doesn't want to see you for 2 weeks, though.
Correct.
All right. So she called you, but is she trying to see you?
Like, that's the thing. She's like, I don't know if I can do this 2 weeks thing. And it's just, like, real flip-floppy. So I'm wondering, should I just take my own personal time away from her in order to gain that space between each other that she feels we need?
Here's the thing, Cameron, is that she was very honest with you, right? And so you respect that. She told you she had a whole nother situation. You just don't know exactly how serious it is. Seeing somebody 3 times a week sounds a little serious to me. You know how long she's been dealing with this other guy?
She said she's been dealing with him for about 2 months.
Oh, okay. So it's still fairly new. Does she want to be in a relationship?
She said she doesn't know what she want to do right now. But I'm not sure if I want to be in a relationship, but I know I want to keep rocking with her, you know?
All right. I mean, I feel like this. If you're okay with being perhaps treated the way that you're being treated right now, and that's cool with you, and you don't even want to be in a relationship, then do what you feel like doing. However, if you feel like your feelings are involved now, starting to get involved, I mean, it hasn't been that long. Y'all had sex, what, 3 times? And so it hasn't been that long, so anything could happen. It's still fairly early to make an assessment.
Right. I think that's very true. And I just wanted to thank you for taking the time out to listen to my question and give me advice. It's an honor to talk to y'all. If you could, check out my Instagram, or maybe you could put me up as a candidate for somebody who does want a relationship.
I thought you said you didn't want one.
Listen, but if I find the one, then you can't deny that. You know what I'm saying? If you find the energy, then it's there. You know, but I'm definitely looking for a mentor. So I'm 22. Just graduated with my communications degree. So if y'all have any opportunities, definitely please reach out.
All right. Tell us your Instagram. Let's see if the ladies will like you.
All right. _ Instacam. And then one more.
Hold on. _ what?
Instacam. Like, instead of Instagram, put CAM. And then one more _.
All right.
You probably see me on there. I just came from France. I hear you talking about France all the time on the station.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, I think I see you. All right. I see you, Cam.
All right, bro. Have a good one, man. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, you can hit Yee. Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
Hey, how you doing? My name is Karen. I'm from upstate New York.
All right, man. What's your question for Yee?
Oh, first of all, how you doing, Charlamagne Tha God, DJ NZ and Angela Yee?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been listening to y'all for a while. I'm on the road right now. I listen to y'all podcasts all the time.
Thank you, bro.
My red, black privilege and all that. Yeah, so y'all dope. But basically, my question for you is, so about a month ago, I was over in this club area in upstate Rochester, New York, and I came across this beautiful girl. We caught eyes, and the energy was just there. It was magnetic, you know what I'm saying? So from there, I approached her, and she gave me a number and stuff like that. So one thing led to another, and I started pulling up on her. So she kept it real with me from the jump. Like, listen, I got another situation going on with a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how serious the situation was.
Okay.
So eventually, I took her out on a nice date, and she wanted to return the favor, so I allowed her to take me to Dave & Buster's, and it was really fun. We had a great time.
That's cute.
And that, yeah, so, you know, it led me to ask her. I'm like, yo, listen, so you and this dude, what's going on with that? You know, because you're taking me on a date to sorry about that. Well, you're taking me on a date. So, boom. After that, she tells me, like, yeah, you know, I see him, you know, one to maybe three times a week. He might come over. So
you can't handle the truth.
Yeah, you know, I took the truth. I ate that like a champ. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, I kept pulling up on her, and we ended up doing the do.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, I was with her, and we did the do, and this is our third time doing it, and it was like crazy. It was crazy, and she told me it was crazy. But then afterwards, when we were finished, like, I brought her home, and we were talking outside the house, and she told me, hey, I think that I just need to have 2 weeks without seeing you.
Wow.
You know, and then she texted me when I got home, like, you know, I miss you already, you know, and I just don't know what I should do any further with the situation. Like, I don't want to cut her off, but I'm feeling like I might have to in order to keep my sanity.
Well, Cameron, to tell you the truth, sounds like she cut you off for 2 weeks already anyway, so you don't have much choice when it comes to that.
When I woke up this morning, I went to sleep early last night. I woke up this morning, she had called me 3 times.
Right. So she told you she doesn't want to see you for 2 weeks, though.
Correct.
All right, so she called you, but is she trying to see you?
Like, that's the thing. She's like, I don't know if I can do this 2 weeks thing, and it's just, like, real flip-floppy. So I'm wondering, should I just take my own personal time away from her in order to gain that space between each other that she feels we need?
Here's the thing, Cameron, is that she was very honest with you, right? And so you respect that. She told you she had a whole nother situation. You just don't know exactly how serious it is. Seeing somebody 3 times a week sounds a little serious to me. You know how long she's been dealing with this other guy?
She said she'd been dealing with him for about 2 months.
Oh, okay. So it's still fairly new. Does she want to be in a relationship?
She said she doesn't know what she want to do right now. But I'm not sure if I want to be in a relationship, but I know I want to keep rocking with her, you know?
All right. I mean, I feel like this. If you're okay with being perhaps treated the way that you're being treated right now, and that's cool with you, and you don't even want to be in a relationship, then do what you feel like doing. However, if you feel like your feelings are involved now, starting to get involved, I mean, it hasn't been that long. Y'all had sex, what, 3 times? And so it hasn't been that long, so anything could happen. It's still fairly early to make an assessment.
Right. I think that's very true. And I just wanted to thank you for taking the time out to listen to my question and give me advice. It's an honor to talk to y'all. If you could, check out my Instagram, or maybe you could put me up as a candidate for somebody who does want a relationship.
I thought you said you didn't want one.
Listen, but if I find the one, then you can't deny that. You know what I'm saying? If you find the energy, then it's there. You know, but I'm definitely looking for a mentor. So I'm 22, just graduated with my communications degree. So if y'all have any opportunities, definitely please reach out.
All right, tell us your Instagram. Let's see if the ladies will like you.
All right, _ Instacam. And then one more.
Hold on. _ what?
Instacam. Like, instead of Instagram, put CAM. And then one more _.
All right,
you probably see me on there. I just came from France. I hear you talking about France all the time on the station.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah, I think I see you. All right, I see you, Cam.
All right, bro, have a good one, man. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, you can hit Yee. Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. What's so funny?
I want to salute the Jerk Kitchen, man, in Teaneck, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Marvelous Marvel from Negril Village, okay? That was a Caribbean spot. I was there yesterday. I've been there a couple of times, but salute to the Jerk Kitchen.
Shout out to the Jerk
Marvelous
Kitchen.
Marvelous Marvel. What's happening?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Cardi B.
Listen up.
It's just in. All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Angie Martinez's show, Untold Stories of Hip Hop, debuts tonight on WeTV at 10 p.m.
Nice.
Dropping a clues bomb for Angie Ma.
Tonight, you can hear Cardi B tell her stories, and she did tell one story that we have for you right now. There's a lot more on the show, but listen to what she had to say about being sexually harassed at a photo shoot.
I will never forget how I went to shoot for this magazine, and, like, the photographer, he was just, like, trying to get close to me. Like, yeah, you want to get in this magazine? Then he pulled his out. I was so mad, and it's just like, this is crazy.
How do you handle it?
I was like, bugging. I'm out. And you know what's so crazy? I told the magazine owner, and he just looked at me like, so? and.
Wow. Jesus Christ, I bet you won't say no and or so and now.
Well, yeah, Angie Martinez did ask her if she still experiences anything like that at this stage, and she said, oh, hell no.
Hell no.
I'll put you on blast on my Instagram, so.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, that is the beauty of the Me Too Time's Up movement, right? They made men shift their whole perspective on things mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. Culture had to change because culture was trash.
All right, now Tekashi 6ix9ine, his sentence is going to be determined today. So get your mouth ready, Charlamagne, because the prosecutors might say that his cooperation is enough to sentence him to time served. So we don't know what's going to happen yet. He's facing 47 years, but after taking the stand, he could get out as early as next year or maybe even time served.
Do we have that audio, Charlamagne?
First of all, let's put this in context.
Drink some more water.
Let's put this in context. When I made this statement,
put it in there.
Y'all going to let me talk or y'all going to keep talking? When I made this statement, somebody said to me that Tekashi 6ix9ine is not going to get no jail time. He's not going to have to go to court. He's not going to have to do nothing. And I was like, you are bugging, because clearly this person isn't from the environment we're from to know what Tekashi was facing. So I said this.
If Tekashi 6ix9ine beats this case, I'll suck his dick.
And let's be clear. No, talk about. Listen, words matter. He didn't beat a case. He cooperated. He didn't beat his case, people. But y'all stupid, so you know.
We'll take him to beat the case.
He won't have to beat nothing after this.
Y'all don't care about words.
Nah, we don't care about words.
I'm
going
to tell you something, though. If I was Tekashi, I wouldn't hide from nothing. I would really test this era and see how lame
but
and corny
what he's doing.
It is. My first day out, I would do a freestyle over the Firm phone tapped, and then I'll drop another freestyle over Nas. It ain't hard to tell.
All right, well, Tekashi 6ix9ine is not planning to go into witness protection.
For what?
And he has rejected that program as soon as he's a free man again. So
I'm dropping a freestyle over Nas. It ain't hard to tell. And by tell, I mean tell on you niggas.
He's going to have around-the-clock security.
What's wrong with you?
And
not?
That's what he says.
Please, how?
He says he does plan that his music career is going to take off again.
He still said he has some money, so he's going to have
around-the-clock security. And they do have a Tekashi 6ix9ine docuseries that's about to go on Snapchat. It's being produced by Complex.
On Snapchat?
Yes, on Snapchat.
Oh, yep, you're right.
What do you mean a docuseries?
Yeah, it's a docuseries. They're interviewing people, and they're talking about the case and what happened, and I think it's something that's going to happen on Snapchat. They asked me if I would.
Also, it don't got nothing to do with Tekashi.
Yeah, no, it does.
No, it's on Tekashi.
No. I mean, he's not involved with it. He's not getting any money from it.
We don't know if he's getting money or not.
They asked me to be a part of that too. No, it's just like a talking head thing where we're talking about the case and the impact it had on hip hop.
Yeah, did you do it?
No.
Me neither.
No. All right, congratulations to Cassie. She got married. So congratulations.
Her and Alex Fine got married
Wednesday, yesterday in Malibu. And director Peter Berg officiated, and there you go. So they're expecting their first child together. They got engaged in August 27th, and now they're married. So congratulations. All right. Terrence Howard, let's talk about him. He was on the Late Late Show with James Corden, and he was talking about a lot of different things about Jussie Smollett no longer being on Empire. Here's what he said.
So it's like now he was the heart of our show, and now it's like our show is on a heart and lung bypass machine because the heart is gone, but we're still hoping that there's going to be a transplant and hoping somehow it'll come back together.
With Jussie, the heart of Empire?
Well, according to him, he said, you know, that's how the show really started off, with him taking his 4-year-old son and putting him in the trash can because he wore high heel shoes down the stairs. And
I would think that Taraji P. Henson is the heart of Empire. I would think that Cookie was the straw that was stirring that drink. Jussie? Well,
I'm just telling you what Terrence Howard said.
Mm.
All right.
I say Taraji.
All right. Now, he also, as you know.
This is crazy. You going to put that?
Yes, we are going to talk about the comments that he made on the red carpet interview that he did at the Emmys. Here's that interview.
I've made some discoveries in my own personal life with the science that, you know, Pythagoras was searching for. I was able to open up the flower of life properly and find the real wave conjugations that we've been looking for 10,000 years. Why would I continue, you know, walking on water for tips when I've got an entire generation to teach a whole new world?
It went on from there, but he also did say in this interview last night, he said, I'm dead serious as far as retiring. He said, I'm so dumb at pretending to be people. I just want to be real for a minute.
Why do people think that was crazy, what he said on the red carpet?
People didn't understand what he was talking about. That's what I'm saying. It was very long.
Yeah, just because I have no idea what he's talking about doesn't mean he's crazy. I just need to Google some of the things he said.
He also said that he was debating not bathing for a month to discover himself.
Yeah, I think that's crazy?
As well.
What, debating not bathing?
Yeah.
What if he discovers himself? He discovers himself. Is it crazy? You're always knocking something because you don't know what it is. But what if that actually works?
Not bathing for a month?
If it helps him discover himself, I don't know what he's trying to discover.
Sounds like I'll get jockey.
All right, Nick Cannon is planning to host his very own daytime show. Right now, he's already hosting The Masked Singer on Fox and, of course, Wildin' Out. And he has got his radio show as well. But he's planning to host and produce a new nationally syndicated talk show.
Dropping the clues bombs from Nick Cannon.
Yes, here's what he said.
You guys know that I had the amazing opportunity to fill in for Wendy. She let me come here and be with you all. And I fell in love with it so much that now...
Talk show.
I got my own talk show. Started 2020. So I got this plan in my head, right? This has never been done on television before. I say, I'm just trying to stick as close to Wendy as possible. So if Wendy come on and then I come on right after Wendy...
2 hours of funny!
There you go. All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
Well, Nick Cannon's getting all the checks, but this is why you should never invest in Nick Cannon to do morning radio, okay?
You don't think he could do it all?
He could do it in L.A.
Ryan Seacrest does it.
And eventually...
He could do it in L.A. He could do a morning and the thing.
Yeah,
and
Ryan Seacrest does it. He could do it.
Now, he would have to come here because of the time zone. He would have to come here because of New York. He would have to get the time ahead, and then he'd
and
have Steve to
Steve Harvey was doing it.
Yeah.
He could do it.
Yeah. Just because your name is on the show don't mean that you're there.
All right. Well, I'm Angela
Yee. That's what I'm saying.
And that is your
report. A lot
of
feelings. It is a lot of... Steve Harvey. That's all I'm saying. He got nephew Tommy and all in to back him up.
Yeah.
Nick on there by himself. That's all I'm saying.
So maybe he'll have a co-host on there or something. We don't know yet.
Ryan. Yeah. Could be a lot of voice tracking. I'm just saying.
Okay, but it still might work. You know, he's going
to
make
well,
it happen.
Well, congratulations to Nick Cannon,
yeah,
man.
Congratulations to Nick Cannon.
All right, Revolt, we'll see you tomorrow. Everybody else, the People's Choice mixes up next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Yeah. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, shout out to the guard, MC Rakim, for joining us this morning.
Rakim, yes. Alive.
That was exciting. I've never interviewed Rakim before, so that was really, really dope for us.
Make sure you go get that book, Sweat to Technique. If you're a creative, if you're a writer, he really breaks down his writing process, and it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So salute to Rakim.
So shout out to Rakim, all right? And again, shout out to everybody. I was out in Atlantic City yesterday. I don't know. Atlantic City can't hear us, right? It's pretty far out there, close to Philly. Oh, they can't hear us? I've seen a lot of people out in Atlantic City say they listen all the time and want to say shout out to you guys. Of course, I'm doing
this thing called the iHeartRadio app, sir.
You're right.
Yes.
If you don't have it, right. Download it.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, they listen to us all the time and they wanted to say good morning to you guys. So shout out to everybody at in Atlantic City. I'll be down there this week for my real estate seminar.
All right, and shout out to everybody who's been buying tickets for our Lip Service Live Tour, which is really exciting for me. And, you know, it's interesting. I did this tour with Live Nation, and I've been putting together everything myself. I'm like a tour manager also. So I'm doing all the bookings for, like, flights and rooms and everything. It's a lot of work aside from that. But I think I'm very hands-on.
You should do an after party in each city.
No, I shouldn't, because I still have to work in the morning.
No, sorry. You could do after and hire your favorite DJ, me, to DJ the after party. We just like make...
But however, I do believe our last date is in Chicago, and I think I'm going to have a big party that night, an after party. So we're already in discussions for that, because that'll be the end of the tour. But in some cities, we are going to have parties. Some of them I'll be at, some of them I won't, because I have to still get up, like I said, and do work in the morning.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm going to rough it out. But I'm excited because we'll be in New Orleans, we'll be in Detroit, we'll be in some of my favorite cities, L.A., San Francisco, D.C., Philly, of course, New York, Cleveland. So it's going to be a good time.
All right.
Atlanta.
All right, when we come back, positive note, don't move, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. And shout out to Angie Martinez. Her show premieres tonight.
Yes, right. The Untold Stories of Hip Hop, 10 p.m., WeTV. I will definitely be at home watching WeTV tonight, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know
absolutely.
What I'm saying?
I have a date with the TV.
There you go.
Some of these networks is doing some pretty cool stuff, man. When I look at Angie Martinez with The Untold Stories of Hip Hop, when I look at Fuse TV, you know, finally giving the read a TV show because they're long overdue. I think they premiere October 11th. It's good to see these networks absolutely get some things right.
And The Roots actually have Questlove and Black Thought. They have a series that's coming that was amazing, too. That it breaks down, like, iconic songs, and it talks to you about the whole time period. I saw the one they did for Jesus Walks, which was really, really great on Kanye. And they talked to everybody involved with making the song. It's really in-depth, but it's about iconic songs.
Mm. What's the record? I mean, what network?
Hip-Hop, The Songs That Shook America, and it's on AMC.
All right, well, you got a positive note for the people?
Yes, I do. The positive note today comes from Maya Angelou, man. Maya Angelou says, "My mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive. and to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style. Write that down today and apply it to your life.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.